You know, when it comes to creating momentum in our organizations, we have to do something new. New triggers momentum. As we said, tweaking something old may make us feel like we're being productive, but it doesn't result in momentum. And to sustain momentum, we have to be constantly improving.
As I have observed leadership, and as I have hung with leaders for now over 35 years, I've come to the conclusion that the best leaders are listeners.
And you have to decide, does the congregation exist for service, or does it exist to serve us?
Hi, welcome to Leadership on Purpose. Again, I'm Robbie Smith, and I'm so glad you've joined with us today. Today, our topic is how to assimilate people through our Sunday school classes. If you go to our website, www.dbachurches.com, I've included a worksheet for you to use through this podcast that'll help you in learning this material. Well, the question today is, how do we keep people into our churches? A lot of people come to our churches, and then it seems like within a few months, the back door opens, and then they're gone. Where'd they go? People ask the question, and then we forget about them, and we start looking for other people. Well, I found that a strong and healthy Sunday school class can help close that back door. So how do we use assimilation, Sunday school, to assimilate people? Well, first, let's learn what assimilation is. A definition of assimilate is to make similar, to alter, to absorb into the culture of a population or group. And assimilation is more than just becoming a member of a group. In fact, a person may member but never be assimilated into the body. The goal is to help people feel they are wanted, that they belong, and that they are needed. So how does your church do assimilation? Or a better question might be, do you even have a plan to assimilate people in your church once they come to church the first time? Well, why do we want to assimilate people through Sunday school? Well, Chester, most people are familiar with Sunday school. They've heard about it. They may call it Bible study or a fellowship group, but most people are familiar with it. And it's also age graded. There's a class for every family member. In most of our churches, they have classes for every age group. And they meet weekly. So you've got that constant contact with the same people on a regular basis. Sunday school provides age-appropriate Bible study. That means the children can understand on their level, while the adults in another class can learn on their level. And then an important part of Sunday school is that it has open enrollment. Now, Chester, some may ask, what is open enrollment? Well, sometime back in the 50s, somebody had this so-called great idea that in order to be a member of a Sunday school class, that you have to come 3 times to that class, never miss a class, before you could be considered a member. Now, I'm not a big fan of that. I think you ought to enroll people anytime, anywhere, as long as they agree. Chester, that could be in Sunday school classes. You could enroll someone right there, but you could also enroll people in a restaurant. You could enroll someone at a gas station. And I found out that in restaurants, they've got the best enrollment cards. And they're cheap, Chester. When I talk to a server, I'll say, would you like to join our Sunday school class at our church? And so I would reach for the card, which is a napkin. And I'd take that napkin, and I'd write their name down, and I would get their email address and their address and phone number so a class can follow up with them. And see, that puts all the pressure on the class to follow up with that new enrolled person. So open enrollment's important. Also, assimilating through Sunday school is good because there's a system for tracking attendance. We know when people are there, when they're not there, and that's important so we can follow up with them. Also, it provides opportunities for service and ministry. Chester, I believe every class ought to have a time when they serve in the community. It's not necessarily a mission trip outside of the state, that's fine too. But could be locally, that they do some kind of service or ministry project every quarter. Now, if you're looking for a ministry project and you don't know where to start, ask your pastor. Ask your staff. If they don't have an idea, call me. I keep a list of things where Sunday school classes can come and spend a couple hours ministering in the community. It could be painting someone's house. It could be picking up trash along the road. It could be cleaning an elderly person's home to help them. But that helps build relationships in your group. Also, as I just said, it helps build relationships when you assimilate through Sunday school. Sunday school retains more people over time than worship services alone. Now, I don't want to hurt our pastor's feelings, but that's just the fact. That's the way it goes. Tom Rainer has discovered in his research that 16% of people whose primary point of contact with the church was through a worship service were still active after 5 years. That's only 16%. However, 83% of people whose primary point of contact with a church was a Sunday school class were still active after 5 years. Now, Chester, you see the difference between the 16% just through worship and 83% through Sunday school. And the difference is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Then 80% of new members will drop out in 1 year. In 1 year, if they don't get involved in a small group or meet new friends and find a place of ministry. Chester, I found out that when people come to our churches, they want to be involved, even if they are in a state of pre-conversion. In other words, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they still want to be able to do something and serve. They may not know why, but they want to be part of the group. So it's important to get them involved through Sunday school. So what's 7 indicators a person is being assimilated? Number one, you want in our classes, we want to pay close attention to class attendance. How faithful do they attend class each month? Do they just come 25% of the time, 50%? 75 or 100% tells you, okay, they're assimilating well. They're building relationships, but yet if they're only 25 to 50%, it gives you a sign that maybe we need to spend more time with them, helping them.
Can I interrupt here?
Yeah.
There, and I've been listening since we started now for about 7 minutes, hearing everything you said and taking it in, because everything you say, I keep thinking, how does this affect the churches? Because it's all great statistics and it's all true, but something that sticks out to me as we go into these indicators that a person is being assimilated, or maybe the converse of that, that indicators that they're not connecting, would be that the responsibility, and you alluded to this, even said this earlier, the responsibility is going to fall on this class. And that's something that I've heard in my experience, be it limited, over the last 5 years in different Sunday schools and different churches through the association, not just in the ones I've served, but in many. There's not a follow through, and this kind of points back, Robbie, to what we talked about last week last month with our Vacation Bible School. There's got to be a follow up, and I won't say a lot, that's generalizing, but there's an attitude among some where if they don't show up 3 or 4 times, we just cut them loose, and that is just as detrimental as not talking to them at all when they come to church, just ignoring them and letting them come in, sit down, and then go on. We've got to quit being afraid to follow up with people. Now, we don't need to call them up and say, well, where have you been? You know, and cause a fight. But we need to show them that we care about them, show them that we love them. Our problem is, and I'm going to step on toes here, but our problem is we don't love like we're supposed to. If we loved like we were supposed to, we'd follow up like we're supposed to.
Right. And we need to remember that a guest is a gift to our church. Is a precious gift. The Lord brought that person, possibly in a pre-conversion state, to our church for us to make a difference in their lives. So we need to care enough about what God has just done that we reach out to these folks and follow up. It's on our responsibility to check on these different folks. I was in a church and I had told them, we're going to check on every member who hadn't been coming to Sunday school. And Chester, this lady came up. She hadn't been there in months. And I said, well, it looks like Lulabelle. We need to call her because she hadn't been coming in months, almost a year. And a lady told me, well, Lulabelle's dead. And I said, are you sure she's dead? I said, I hadn't heard. She said, she's dead, Brother Robbie. She'd gone to be with the Lord. And Chester, have you ever had a feeling that something just wasn't right?
Yeah.
So I called that number for Lulabelle. Guess who picked up the phone?
Lulabelle?
It was Lulabelle. And I said in my ministerial voice, I said, Lulabelle, we thought you were dead. And she said, I'll never forget this, Chester. She said, Brother Robbie, I'm not dead. I've just been sick for months and haven't been able to get out of the house. Chester, sometimes it's easier for us to kill people off.
That's right.
Than to check on them.
That's right.
Just care enough for your class to give them a call and find out why they're not there and ask them, instead of saying, why aren't you at Sunday school? Right. Say, is something going on in your life we can help you with?
That's right.
How can we bless you, Lulabelle? What can we do to help you? That will build relationships, and that's the kind of class that God honors.
That's right.
And that is God honoring.
And don't just put that responsibility on the teacher. This is something that the class needs to be involved with.
That's right.
I mean, it's not the teacher's responsibility. The teacher can be involved, but, you know, I think for my classes, my Sunday school class specifically, I follow up when people aren't there, but I think that they expect me to do it because I'm the teacher.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like that's his job. But if you as a Sunday school class member calls up and just says, hey, we noticed you hadn't been here, just checking on you, want to make sure everything's okay, it means so much more to people than the teacher doing it.
Yeah, in just a few minutes I'll show you some statistics that show that when a class member follows up, it's much more important than when a paid staff member does. But some other indicators a person is being assimilated is worship attendance. Are they coming at worship time? Are they volunteering in ministry through your Sunday school class? Do they have friends? Chester, it's real important that each person in a class has 4 to 6 people that they relate with in the class, because you are trying to build community in your Sunday school class.
How about involvement? Involvement when you're looking in a classroom. If a student is not as involved, or maybe they're just trying to stay back, I mean, that kind of perceives that there's a lack of assimilation taking place.
That's right. And that's the responsibility of the teacher. If you're teaching and then a student is not participating, then you might just say, well, hey, Tommy, what's your opinion on that? And do you think that's possible? And these kinds of things, getting them involved. Don't put them on the spot so much.
Right.
But you can do it in a creative, nice way to let them know that their opinion is, we want to hear their voice and their opinion on what's being said. So get them involved. But the teacher has to do more than just lecture.
Right.
In order for that to happen, you have to open it up for discussion.
Something, and I want your opinion on this. This may be, I guess I reserve the right to be way off top or base here, but something I do in my classes and have for a while is not call on people. If I call on people, it's very strategic. It's very careful. I don't call on people to answer a question. You know, if I'm talking about, I don't know, the epistles, and I say, you know, Billy, what's an epistle? Billy may not know what an epistle is, right. And so he may think that's the church that's kind of like Catholic, but not, you know, the Episcopalians. And I had somebody give that answer one time. People don't know everything that we might think they do, especially in Sunday school. And so correct me if I'm wrong, but when addressing your class, when teaching your class, this is more for teachers, but whenever you teach a class, stay away. I would anyway. I do. Stay away from calling somebody out with a question that they may feel worse about not knowing or embarrassed by not knowing.
Right. Now, you can ask things on people's opinions or what they think, but when it comes to theology and things like that, be very careful who you ask and how you ask it. I also don't ask people to read in a class unless I know for fact that they're okay with that. Mm-hmm. I did it one time. And the person doesn't know how to read. And it embarrassed that person and it embarrassed me
sure.
for that person. So I last thing I want to do is bring embarrassment.
And if you want to get somebody out of your class, embarrass them. You want to push somebody away from the church, embarrass them. You know,
be very careful. The next thing, next indicator is, of course, lesson involvement, then fellowship involvement. When you're having fellowship with your class, are they there? Start noticing these things. If a person just comes to Sunday school and then leaves and they're not having relationships with people, they're not involved in fellowships, chances are they're not assimilated. The next one, number 7, would be ministry involvement. Again, do they work shoulder to shoulder when y'all do mission projects, whether they're monthly or quarterly? So what can...
I think you were going to ask the question I was going to ask. You talk about the indicators and the ways we can watch for it. What if we see somebody that's not fitting in? What are some ways that we can assimilate those people into the group? Or maybe people from the outside of that class into that class?
Well, great way to do it is have some of the class members go and maybe spend time with them. Go to their house just to have fellowship with them. The big thing is make sure for every fellowship, we just talked about fellowship and ministry, invite every person on your roll, whether or not they attend regularly. Let them know that they are part of that class and you care about them. So involve them in that way. Be friendly to them. Shake their hands. In a minute, we're going to talk about how to have class greeters, which is our next part. What can a Bible study group do? Have class greeters outside the classroom. Now these, Chester, I think it's good to have a couple, not just one person. It could be husband and wife. Some women feel more comfortable with a woman greeting them. Some men, same way with a man. So you have a couple out there and they smile. That's the biggest thing. Smile. Church ought to be a happy place. Shake their hands. Hug them if that's appropriate in your church. But the greeters, Chester, should be the last people to sit down for the class. Don't sit down if your Sunday school starts at 9:30. Don't put yourself in a seat at 9:30. Wait to 9:40 because a lot of people come late.
Right.
And save the back seats for your guests that come late. We don't want to embarrass people. Another thing we can do, and I know people hate this, Chester, but having name tags. Chester, I know you. We're friends. But yet if someone else comes into our circle here, they may not know us. They may not know your name. And they get embarrassed when they're talking back and forth. So have name tags. Now, what classes will do? They'll make the fancy name tags sometimes for their members and give the guests these old, ugly paper ones. Please don't do that. Have everybody use those disposable ones.
That's right.
And that way there's no difference. See, that way everybody's on the same plane.
You know, and I guess I get to step on toes, you know, a little bit more than you sometimes. Maybe it's just, I get that. I'm fortunate enough, I guess, I get that in the podcast to be able to do that and not be worried. But I'll tell you something. A lot of our Sunday school classes still have these attitudes. And this is no offense meant, but to our... specifically some of our older Sunday school classes, we have to be very careful that we're not so comfortable within the group of people that have been with us that we don't allow somebody to come in. I heard a story one time, real briefly, I'll tell you, I heard a story one time of a couple that came into a Sunday school class, and the gentleman went to use the restroom. The wife came in, and she went to take a seat down next to this other lady. And the other lady looked at her, and these were visitors of this Sunday school, and the other lady looked at her and said, "You can't sit there, that's my husband's seat." Well, those people didn't come back to Sunday school, and they never went back to that church. At least they didn't get involved, and they disappeared not long after that. And if we are welcoming people with that kind of attitude, then we are not living the example of Christ. And everything we do, doesn't matter where we are, goes back to loving people as Christ loves the church. And we have to go back to that. And when we're assimilating people into Sunday school or into church via the door of Sunday school, we need to make sure that our attitude is that of love. And that is in everything we do. So if somebody comes in and it's uncomfortable because 3, 4, 5 new people have come into your class and you've never had that many people in your class or you've never had them, that's a good thing. And if it's not a good thing, and this is where I get on the toe and then get off, if it's not a good thing, go to the altar, seek the Lord on this. That's because right. If it's not a good thing, maybe the heart's not right.
Yeah. Confess it to the Lord. You know, a bad attitude doesn't have to remain a bad attitude. A sinful attitude doesn't have to remain that. Confess it, get over it, and then learn to serve. You know, if a room gets too full, the first people that ought to offer their seats are the members of that class.
That's right.
You get up and stand in the back.
That's right.
Let the guest have the place of honor. That's what the Lord would have us do. Mm-hmm. Another thing we can do is have get acquainted activities there at the first part of the class. Maybe not every week, but ever so often do that. Here's an important one. Have an engaging Sunday morning Bible study. Or if you have Bible studies on other nights or other days other than Sunday, which is great.
Yeah.
But make sure, teachers, that you have prepared. If you have not prepared until Saturday night, you need to confess that before the Lord and ask Him to forgive you, because you are not prepared to teach these folks that God has entrusted to you. Sometimes we have some of the poorest teaching because our teachers haven't prepared. You know, it's one thing, Chester, to know what the Scripture says. We need to study so the Lord will show us what that Scripture says. But then there's another step, and every pastor ought to do the same thing that I'm telling you. You prepared your lesson, what the Bible says. Now the Lord wants you to help facilitate that with your class. They need to receive it. So you need to think about how you're going to teach it, what techniques are you going to use. There's all kinds of things you can change things up using illustrations. Hello, Jesus used illustrations all the time. He used stories. The gift of storytelling came from Jesus himself. So find creative ways to tell those Bible stories. But the point is, Chester, you've got to be prepared before Saturday to do that.
What would you say if your pastor didn't have his message prepared until Saturday night? And you knew about that.
Yeah. Well, most churches would probably fire him.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Same thing with a teacher. Now, I'm going to just say this. Honestly, if you're listening to this and you're a teacher and you are just bent on not preparing until Sunday night, do everyone a favor. And
quit.
That's
right.
Yes.
Move on.
And the Lord has something else for you to do.
That's right.
If you don't have the time to put into it, don't do that. Let someone else have that class. But God will use you if you put the time in. Another way we can, Bible study group can assimilate people, use words of encouragement. Encourage people in the class. It should be a happy place to be.
I thought that Sunday schools were for gossip.
Maybe some of them, but that's not what it's intended to be. Exactly. And then celebrate special occasions. Celebrate anniversaries, birthdays. Now, I know a lot of churches do that in the worship time, but I think that ought to be in Sunday school. Mm-hmm. Celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. When you get a promotion at work, man, y'all need to be each other's biggest cheerleaders. It needs to be a time of encouragement. Well, now, what are some other things? You could have eight on a date. I call it eight on a date, where you take four couples and you go on a Friday night date with one another. Again, is building relationships. Another way, this is a great idea, is communicate through emails. And Chester, you know a lot about this with Facebook.
Right.
Set up groups. I guess you can call them set up groups. Is that right, on Facebook?
Sure.
You can call your class whatever you want to call it. And then you communicate through that, share things that happened during the week, prayer request on this, on your Facebook, your class's Facebook page.
You can set it to be private. You can set it to be members only, so that you're protecting the information that's going on there.
Yeah.
But that and Twitter, I know you're going to mention Twitter too as an option. Those are some great opportunities to connect. Now, I get right off the bat that some people say, well, I don't know how to turn on a computer, much less use an email, Facebook, or a Twitter. And that's understandable. Of course, I would encourage you to learn and have somebody help you, but that's because it's valuable. But I'll tell you, just in our children's ministry and in our student ministry at Tabernacle, we rely on our Facebook group heavily, along with our emails, and then I do a Twitter every so often, but usually it's just quoting Rick Warren or you know, John Maxwell or Andy Stanley or one of these guys, but it's a great opportunity, as you say, just to reach these people and to do so quickly. And a lot of people have Facebook on their smartphones now.
That's right.
So when they get on there, when you get on there and post a message, they're getting it almost immediately instead of waiting until next Sunday to come in to get a printout of something that you might want to tell them.
Yeah, so it's a great way of communicating. Another is have lunch. Have lunch as a class a Sunday each month, possibly after the Sunday morning service. Do y'all go out to lunch or bring stuff and have it in fellowship hall? Another thing is visit a person in their home. I'm convinced it's important for a Sunday school teacher to visit every person in their class, whether or not they've been attending. If they're on the roll, he or she needs to visit them in their house once a year.
Elaborate a little bit on that, because I'll tell you, I'll admit, I am a Sunday school teacher who doesn't do that. So talk to us if we're sitting here and the microphones were off and I said, how am I going to do that? Respond to that.
And I would tell you, repent, brother. No, it's important to do that because a teacher is more than just an expounder of knowledge. You are to build relationships with your class. Just like you want your pastor to have a relationship with you, your class members want to have a relationship with you as well. And so a great way to do that is just to visit 15 minutes in a person's home, have prayer with them, and ask them, is there anything that we can do for you? It'll bless those people beyond your understanding that you cared enough to do that. I do think it's appropriate, however, to make a phone call. If I'm visiting you and I'm your teacher, Chester, I might say, hey, would you and your wife mind if my wife and I stop by tonight? We'll just be there 15 minutes. I just want to share a couple things with you and have some prayer, and then I'll be gone. Would that be okay? And I've never had somebody tell me no. It shocks them that somebody wants to come visit with them, but that's an important thing to do. Also, do ministry as a class. I mentioned that earlier. When you're ministering together, doing some kind of mission work, you're building relationships. Another thing, invite every class member, guest, and prospect to every class fellowship. And it's best to do those monthly. And if you don't do them monthly, at the very least, do them quarterly. But invite everybody. Well, Johnny May's going to say no. She always says no. Well, you keep asking her, because one day, as you keep praying for her, one day she's going to need something that the class has, going to need support, because we all go through tough times.
I have to make a disclaimer here.
Yeah.
We have a Johnny May, so
that's okay. Not what we're talking about. No, I don't know a Johnny May. That's why I was using that name. But invite every person to every fellowship. Number next. Have someone from the class offer to sit with a guest in worship. You know, Chester, I go to 50 churches. We have 50 churches in our association. We're adding them all the time. And it breaks my heart. I'll be preaching, and I will see a guest who has been there sitting by themselves.
Right.
And for the life of me, I don't understand why a church would allow that. Now, this is what happens many times. A guest comes in, and the church ignores them. And then the pastor says, now we're going to have a time of fellowship. Greet one another. And then they slobber all over this guest.
Right.
But yet they've ignored him for the first 30 minutes of him being there. Now, if you were the guest, would you feel welcome?
No.
No, you only feel that they did this because the preacher told you to. I encourage all of our classes, when you walk into the worship center and you see someone sitting by themselves, especially a guest, go and introduce yourselves.
That's right.
Shake their hand. Tell them you're glad that they're there, and then ask if you could sit with them. That'll bless them, and it'll bless you as a Sunday school member. Also, contact absentees weekly. Don't let weeks and weeks go by. It's our responsibility to keep up with the people in our class. Now, that's what we can do for Sunday school classes. What can a church do to assimilate people? Well, it's important that the youth classes and the children's classes have a plan and a way to assimilate people like adults would in their ministry. Also, establish a recurring new members class. This is so important. Chester, I know that at Tabernacle, y'all have a new members class. Share a little bit about that.
We have a new members class that we've developed and been running almost a year now. And we meet every third Wednesday of every month. We offer it again and again and again. Sometimes we don't have anybody in attendance. Sometimes we have a full class, just depending on what's going on. But we take them through salvation. Simple plan of salvation, the explanation of what baptism is and why we do it. Then we take them through about a 40-minute process of understanding what effective membership is and understanding how we see effective membership at Tabernacle, what we expect members to do, and what they can expect from us, not just as a church but as a staff. And then we go through, and by the time they've finished that, and through that we do some different activities that they get to, you know, interact with each other and interact with. I'm not teaching the class as of this month. It will be my first month not. We passed that off. But it was an opportunity for me to get to know people and get to talk to folks and get to be involved with them personally and their families. And so at the end of that, they feel like they've connected already. Not to mention, and this is highly important to me, they know what they're getting into. Too many times, and I'll digress for just a second, but too many times churches, we tend to invite people to join a church and then tell them after they've joined everything that the church expects or is going to do. It's kind of like getting married and then finding out the truth. Although I know many people have done that, finding out the truth about how hard marriage can be. Yeah. And then that's why people don't stay. And just because you join a church and you go down front and you're voted on and you become a member or whatever your procedures and bylaws call for you to do, just because somebody joins a church doesn't mean somebody's assimilated into that church.
Mm, that's right.
A lot of members of churches haven't been in their church in 20 years. And so, you don't find out they're members until they die and you read it in their obituary.
Right.
And so that is a big part of this membership class for Tabernacle anyway, is allowing people to discover what it is we do, why we do it, and know about it before they join.
In your new member class, do you have to be a member in order to go through that class?
Actually, no. Actually, we haven't made this mandatory, but my feeling on this, and I've made it, you know, very clear to all of our leadership, they know where I stand. My desire is to see that you have to attend the class before becoming a member, not the other way around. Because, mm-hmm. again, I don't want you to get married and then find out just how difficult it can be. Go ahead and talk to somebody who's been married first, and then you'll know going into it whether you're really going to be committed to it.
See, that's great. See, we had the same kind of system in a church that I had served, and we found that people would come to our church, go through the class to see whether or not they wanted to join the church,
right,
which is wonderful. And some decided that wasn't the kind of church for them, which is great. Mm-hmm. It was great for them. That's it was right. Great for us.
That's a good thing.
Yes,
that's
it is. It's because if God's called them into a different type of work, different type of ministry, let them go to another church.
Right.
Every church is different. God's plan for each church is different. So a church needs to know who they are and what God's called them to, and then to make sure that is shared to the prospective members.
I'll tell you the best part of having this class, and the most blessing part, or the biggest blessing of having the class, was we had a gentleman one time who came in, and we discussed the salvation and baptism part of the class, because in order for you to be a member, of course, you need to be saved and baptized. It's much more important to be saved than a member. And he discovered that he was not, or he knew that he wasn't, but we discovered through conversation with him afterwards and followed that he was not saved. As a result of the membership class, this man and his two daughters were saved and subsequently baptized. So, you know, if you can't say amen for that class,
it's wonderful.
And thank the Lord for letting us have that, and can't see the benefit of it, then I don't know what you will see.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of materials out there, and if any of our churches need help, I'm sure you wouldn't mind offering some assistance in that, as well as myself. And you can contact me, of course, at rsmithdba@windstream.net, and I can also get you in touch with Chester if you're interested in some help with that. Another way a church can assimilate people is through starting new classes. That is a healthy way. Now, a lot of classes don't like to do that, but churches grow faster when you have new classes. There's all kinds of data to support that. So every class ought to reproduce itself every 2 years. Every 2 years, every class should start another class. There's ways to do that. I'd love to share that at another time. But if you need help with that, give me a call, and I'll help you with that. Also, expect more from Sunday school teachers in the assimilation process.
Yes.
There is more to teaching Sunday school than just presenting a lesson.
Amen.
A Sunday school teacher needs to be the leader of the class, but not the dictator of the class, but the leader, loving leadership. And it helps give direction. Also, another thing can do, host a fellowship for guests immediately following the worship service. Some churches, which I like to have the offering at the end of the service, and many times guests don't give money, and you shouldn't ask them to give. If they want to give, they'll give. But what you could do is during the offering time at the end of the service, the pastor could say, now, if you're a first-time guest, my wife and I would love to spend some time with you. If you'll follow me, we're going to go to another room and just share some orange juice and coffee together and talk while they take the offering. And then the ushers or deacons go and take the offering while they're doing that. That creates a wonderful time between the pastor and guest. And it makes the guest feel special. And they can also have an opportunity to ask any questions of the pastor.
I'm just thinking, and I know you're probably wondering why I've got this big goofy grin on my face right now while you're talking. I was just thinking that in order to be successful in that, we have to get past the idea that somehow the pastor has to be standing at that back door to shake your hand when you come out. It's much more important for them to be in a room with a bunch of first-time guests getting to know these families than it is to shake a hand of somebody who's been in there for 15 years and probably is going to talk bad about the message when they leave. No, I'm kidding. But you know, you have that those traditions that we hold to, but we've got to let go of some of these things in order to reach these folks and assimilate these folks into God's church.
Yeah. It's just important to do things differently. Now, if you're growing left and right and you're reaching people, and you're not losing people out the back door, well, keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
But I don't know any church that doesn't feel like they can improve in this area.
Sure.
So try something different. Another thing is do Bible study group registration quarterly in the Sunday morning worship service. This is important. It shows that the pastor thinks Sunday school is important. And that on that, let's say you do it quarterly and you put a registration form in the back of the pew or under the chairs or whatever. And the pastor says, now, if you are in a Bible study group, that is great, but we want everybody today to register and have everybody do it. That makes a first-time guest not feel conspicuous, you know, so they will fill out the form as well. And then they're put into a Sunday school role, and then the class is to follow up with them. That is so, so very important.
You've been listening to Leadership on Purpose with DBA Director of Missions, Robbie Smith. For more information on this program or any information contained herein, contact the Daniel Baptist Association at 912-583-2713 or email rsmithdba@windstream.net.